Hello, and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 10.
Woo! Milestone!
Yeah, it's a big one. Right? And then we're just going to talk about general stuff for the most part, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I am Valerie.
Our namesake. Foreign things.
Foreign things. All the wonderful foreign things. I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
All right, Angela, you will start on the general why foreign is better than American. Just kidding. No, it's not.
I actually wrote a very long time ago an editorial for the site on is British TV really better than American television?
I remember that.
Because there's that idea out there a little bit, and I did an editorial on it, so go check that out.
Yes, withanaccent.com. You can find it.
Yeah. One of the things that we try to do with the site is to promote foreign media more, and we've, on the podcast a lot lately, we have been keeping that as a theme. We've been discussing foreign media a lot, but it's usually been like one specific show or movie or whatever. And so today we thought we'd open it back a little bit up into maybe why we watch or what we like about it or what might draw us to it. And, you know, different people go in it for different things. And sometimes it's just a matter of it's more stuff that's out there. I know I like that aspect of it. Like, you're not limited, especially now with the internet. We're really not limited to what we can go find in the movie theater. And, you know, sort of supporting, decreasing the idea that only the top stuff, the creme de la creme of stuff, it does not only come out of Hollywood. But sometimes maybe there's something that we like better. And for me, lately, it has been romance or rom-coms especially. Like, I don't know, Hollywood's so glum these days. Mm. Everything's got to be serious or depressing. And I think that, I mean, obviously for me, it's mostly K-drama, but it's Bollywood as well. And French. I'm a big fan of the zany French rom-com. Like, you can really just go get something wacky on Netflix. You can find at any given time any number of just really silly but cute French rom-coms that I like a lot. So that's one thing for me. Sometimes it's fantasy, too. I think I talked about it a little bit on the first podcast. Like, I kind of ran out of all of the movies when I was a kid at the library that were fantasy in America, and then
there
went to college
and
was saw Ghibli movies and stuff.
And also just the main, like, what becomes mainstream in America is often very alienating in a way. So, like, when you go to a different culture's media, then you're going to see some of the stuff that might exist in the U.S. because we have so much, right? We are a melting pot. But yeah, it doesn't get promoted or it doesn't get made into a blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rom-com thing is interesting because there's actually, but I've seen talk about that and how rom-coms in Hollywood are basically dead. But I think, you know, doesn't The Big Sick count as it's basically a rom-com. Mm-hmm. It's the story. Yeah. It's his actual story of how he met his wife. But it's obviously, I mean, I haven't seen it, but it's obviously a different take on the traditional rom-com story. So it's, I think what's dead is not necessarily, people want romance and people want comedy, but they're sick of the formulaic rom-com that always comes out of Hollywood. And I think that's the problem. I think that's maybe what other cultures are doing better right now. We haven't figured out how to reinvent them here yet.
I did watch The Big Sick.
Yeah.
And I did think, I thought it was a very good movie. I really liked it. But I guess that is part of it too. It's like, that's a new voice in Hollywood, you know? So, and that's what Hollywood needs to do more of, is be open to new or like different voices that they wouldn't have expected to sell otherwise. And not in the rom-com genre, but it's sort of like Jordan Peele with Get Out, right? Like, that's not what you would expect to come out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that other countries are, like, pulling out, like, really actually new and innovative and different things, but it's different to us because we are so used to the same thing over and over again. It's sort of like when you watch, like, for my thing, so K-dramas, for rom-coms, like you said, I love K-dramas and I find them super refreshing, but they can be very tropey for themselves, right?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
If you watch K-dramas, then you know, like, okay, this, and this is going to happen. But
when I used to do the K-drama blogs for the site, like, back years ago, I had a certain formula I followed, and at the end of every recap, I put the, like, annoying tropes to look out for that are present in the drama little thing at the end, because they all have names too.
Right.
Like the noble idiot or the like sins of the father where mm-hmm. we can't be together because something that happened with right. my parents.
No, exactly. Like, my father is responsible for your father's death. Actually, literally happened several times in several K-dramas that I watched. I was like, this is a very specific trope.
Apparently, they really like that.
And it gets
story.
Really ridiculous, too, when it's... I've seen ones that are literally, like, not directly responsible for my father's death, but, like, your father did something to my parents that made them really sad. Mm, and then they, like, died. And I'm like, hey, you're really good. And that's
there's always a death involved, somehow.
And I'm like, okay, now hold on.
But yeah, and then for my childhood, you know, and that I still enjoy telenovelas, which is sort of the opposite, right? Which is just like Latin American soap operas, basically. Mm-hmm. Sort of the opposite. Like, you don't go for that if you want like lighthearted rom-com.
Yeah.
But what I do love about that and K-dramas, in general, the foreign media that I consume, and I've said this before, is I love that there's a specific end date.
Yeah.
So I know that they're going to tell the whole story in this amount of time. And more than that, I know, like, speaking from a romantic perspective, who's going to end up with who? And then it's all about the journey to get there.
Because the most frustrating thing about, like, American stuff is if you do
shipping
it in
culture.
If you do it in mm-hmm. television, mm-hmm. if you're talking about television specifically, you get the problem of, okay, but what if the actor that I want to be with this other actor mm-hmm. leaves? And right. so they have to put them, like, I can't right. imagine being a Vampire Diaries fan when Nina Dobrev left. Like, what the hell?
That would have sucked.
I mean, it was hard enough for me as a Doctor Who fan. Mm-hmm. I was a huge Dr. Rose fan. Mm-hmm. And so then Billy Piper left. Mm-hmm. And that was hard. So that's a different version, though, because, you know, because you have the regeneration, it doesn't work in that story.
Yeah, and sometimes, even if they were committed to a story in the beginning, they might get tired of their own story in, like, season 5 and be like, why don't I do this instead? And you're like, no, I don't want you to do that. Just end it. But
just tell me a 10-episode story.
Yeah.
It's longer than a movie, but it's still contained, so I know it's going to end because everybody was there till the end of the filming.
Yeah. But yeah, just to go back, I was going to say, and telenovelas also have their very specific tropes that if you watch enough of them, you're going to feel like they're formulaic, right? And just be like, yes, now is the part where they think that they're related.
Is that a thing that happens?
That is a very specific telenovela trope.
Dramas too.
Yeah, really? They have to think they're brother and sister for a while.
I used to watch American soap operas. Yeah. I think that happened a few times, actually, too. So maybe it's just soap opera.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Even American soap operas go on and on forever, right? Yes. Like, so why everything American, they just want to, I guess they want to draw it out to make money, right? Yeah. That's the idea. But there has to be a way to make money without drawing things out, right? Because other people do it.
Have a contained story.
Yeah.
That you don't have to do forever, that you can say, this is how long, I mean, I've said it, I think I said it in the first episode where I talked about that same issue. One of my favorite shows of all time is Life on Mars, and the British one, not the American one. I've never seen the American one, and I'm never going to. And that is because the writers did one season, and then they went to the BBC and said, okay, we can do 8 more episodes, and that is it. There are 16 hours of that show, and that is it. They did then do a follow-up called Ashes to Ashes, but it works, and it's beautiful. But Sam's story is contained in the first 16 episodes, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And they can do that. We're getting a little bit better with that. Like, Game of Thrones is, they were able to say, we're only going to do so long. But then they're doing spinoffs, so maybe that... So that's another...
I wonder... Yeah. Oh, God. That just reminded me. I'm sorry. Confederate.
Oh, God.
Like,
oh,
why? No. Why would anyone? Why? Okay. I just want to understand why they thought that was a good idea. First off, it's a bad idea. But second off, to have D&D, like, the people who did Game of Thrones, do Confederate, sounds like literally the worst idea of all time.
Yeah.
Like, who would be least sensitive to Black people's plight? And who would make the white people the rapiest and the most awful? Because that is all they do. Yes! D&D. Anyway. Okay, hang on. That's another reason why American.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what to say about it. I'm not going to watch it. If it ever happens at this point, I don't know.
Hopefully
that it's going
it does
to.
Not happen. But.
I will admit, I still need to make myself branch out more because most of what I watch, and this is largely informed by the fact that my husband is British, and so I have the access to British stuff a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so I forget sometimes that the way that British television is like, you know, talking about the more contained story, that is a foreign thing. Mm-hmm. Most foreign media is like that. So I'm not sure why a lot of foreign media have developed that way when we have such a different, and supposedly we're, you know, the, like,
I know it's like, from. Because the money from American shows and I guess American everything comes from the back end, right?
Yeah.
And it's come, and then the back end money comes from reruns and syndication.
Yeah.
And so that's why you need that many episodes to sell, but like, but you don't really, because that must be where the money comes from in other places. So they must just be willing to buy your series when it's only, like, let's say you only have 20 episodes, but then you could just keep repeating them, right? Like, because people, if someone really likes something, which they're more likely to really like when it's only 20 episodes, right? They can like the whole thing.
Yeah.
They will keep watching it, right?
Yeah.
So.
In K-dramas, it's been product placement a lot lately. There's a lot of, you can go online and find people laughing about Subway. It's funny. I don't know if it's just that it's more obvious to me when the product placement is like an American chain.
Yeah.
Like I was watching some show and I'm Suspicious Partner. They're always eating Papa John's.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
What is happening? Why are they always like, I was from all the other
they have like
I watch,
see
I
can like, tell let's you, call
the
pizza.
Korean people do not eat this often. Like, they don't. But there's a Subway one too where it's like lately Subway has been really bad and maybe that's how they fund it. Because they just have really obnoxiously obvious product placement all of the time.
But it's sort of, it's pretty funny though, because it's like, isn't, like, your life is kind of like, you're gonna be like Papa John's, and then you're gonna talk about Papa John's, and you're gonna get your, so it's not like, it's not like unrealistic.
Papa John's just if it's worth their time, because look, we're talking about them now.
There you go. Exactly. We just gave them advertisement. Well, I think it's funny, because I actually wondered that, like, before, why we don't see more product placement in American stuff, and they do it somewhat. What you see a lot is, like, cars. And this reminds me of, I guess it's the end of Avengers, which I always think is hilarious because it's like, if you're going to do product placement, you have to make it make sense in the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fucking way Tony Stark is going to drive off in an Audi when he could have an Aston Martin or a Lamborghini. He's not going to have an Audi. That's not what Tony Stark's going to collect. I'm sorry, Audi. But so that's the only problem, I guess.
I guess
you have to make it make sense.
You have like some dialogue about it. Be like, why are you driving an Audi? Yeah. And then he'll be like, it was my mom's favorite car. I don't know what the hell he was saying.
I own the company.
Exactly,
I don't know.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
That's
something
some
silly.
Maybe he was like trying to make something less flashy for Bruce.
There you go. He's trying to tone it down a little bit. Even though they're about to drive off to that big ugly tower in New York City, right? To do Science Bros things.
Science Bros things. But I definitely forgot that the Hulk's name was Bruce Banner. So for a second, I was like, what?
You were like, who?
Batman? I'm like, that's not right. That shows you how much I care about the Hulk. But anyway.
It's because nobody cares about the Hulk. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Aww.
I don't care. I like...
Poor Hulk.
Yeah, I know.
I like X-23. What? Not X-23. His friend, who is the new Hulk.
Her friend.
Okay, Amadeus Cho. That's his name.
Oh.
I was like, I like the new Hulk. But I said X-23 because, like, they are, like, in a team-up in, like, one of the comics.
Random aside, I've gotten addicted to playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, and I actually got that.
Oh, really?
That Hulk. I was like, who the hell is this guy? This isn't Bruce Banner. I was like, Amadeus Cho? There's another Hulk?
I had no idea, which just goes
to show I'm a fake comic.
In comics, there's no one person who's ever the superhero.
Why
ever.
Have
like,
one
I don't
when you can have
any comics at all? And I know that.
But yeah, so do you have any, is there any, other than just British TV, is there any genre of foreign media or, you know, that you like to consume best?
I think that, what is it, like the Danish, I think, are really well known for doing really, really good crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I mean, we had, I think it's Danish. I'm going to get it wrong. We had the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff. And they were the ones who did the killing.
I think that was Swedish. This girl with the dragon tattoo was Swedish. But yes.
Okay, so apparently it's just the Scandinavian countries are really good at that. You've got Wallander, which stars Kenneth Branagh, but that's a remake of, I think it's a remake of, like, a Scandinavian version, I think. I'm going to get this. Somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong. But
it's actually Humans, I heard, was a remake of a Swedish show.
So, see, even the British remake everything, like, the Americans remake everything British. That's just a thing. Why do we do that? Why can't we just show the original with subtitles?
I feel
there is actually a show premiering on ABC in the fall that is a remake of a K-drama.
Are you serious? Oh, wait, The Good Doctor, right?
The Good Doctor.
Yeah, yeah. With Freddie Highmore. Yeah, and I'm gonna watch that. That's on my
well, Freddie Highmore.
Watch.
That actually sounds.
I'm really curious because I watched The Good Doctor. It was literally like just getting home from the hospital after having my daughter, and I was just like, I don't know why I chose to watch a hospital set show. Like I'm laying on the sofa and I can't move, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch. But I think it's because the stakes are always really low in it, so I liked that. But the thing that made me really nervous, like that I really didn't like in the Korean Good Doctor. It was, like, really ableist at the beginning.
Yeah.
They kept, because, like, the forces at the hospital, the, like, business machinations or whatever, they really wanted to keep him out for some reason, the main guy. And they kept using the excuse that, like, well, he's not going to be good with patients because he has no, like, social skills or whatever. But they kept, and the people who were supporting him kept being like, but he's cured now. Like, he's cured. And I was like, no. No.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm curious how they're going to go about it. I'm worried it makes it look like they're going to go about it Sherlock style is kind of how the trailers make it look. Maybe that's just because Freddie Highmore is starting to look a lot like Cumberbatch. Maybe that's why. I think that that's where they're going.
Well, I'm sure they won't have the people that support him be like, he's cured. At least that won't happen. That reminds
Hopefully.
Me. I'm watching Strong Woman Do Bong-soon right now. And it's super homophobic.
Yes.
And that's like...
I know. I would have warned you about that if I had known you were watching it. Yeah. I haven't watched it. Parts have looked really... I've sat there and watched clips, but I'm like, I will not watch this show because I had read horrendous things about that.
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, it's like, if you take that out, it's cute. But the part, like, it's... You can't ignore it, right? Like, you know? But that's... No. And that's a thing, too, that you have to, like, if you're watching another... And if you look at the comments, like, people be like, this is homophobic, and then other people are defending it, and people that are defending it obviously are used to it, you know, like, no, it's not, that's just how they are. I'm like, yeah, but how they are is homophobic. So,
just because that's how they are doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, have you guys ever seen Yuri on Ice, which is,
No.
An anime?
No, I haven't.
And so it's been,
It's been on my radar, though.
Yeah, it's been very widely acclaimed because it's showing, I don't know if the first, but definitely, like, a healthy and canon male, like, you know, gay relationship between two men, right? So it's like, and so they deal with that well, and it, you know, whatever. A lot of people really like it for that reason, but there is also a lot of sort of fat shaming or, like, body shaming in it, you know? And you sort of can't escape that because it's, like, part of...
It's like you can't get one thing to be like, it's great for this thing, but then it's really bad for this other thing.
Yeah, it's like you can't, like, but yeah, you, like, it's sort of like part of the culture, you know, like, because it's like, oh, well, Asian people are really small, or they're supposed to be small. And it's like, yeah, but I don't know. So that's just, so this, it's interesting how, just no matter where you go, there's like something different, right? And you can find all those things in an American show, but like, I guess our big thing, like, I don't know what our big thing is. Racism, I guess. Racism is like the biggest thing that you will encounter. You know,
Watching something the other day. Oh, I think I had like friends on the other day, and I was like, "Wow, this show can be really homophobic."
Oh,
like they like to make jokes about, "Oh no, we're not gay. Oh God, don't think of us as gay." Mm-hmm. Like they do that all the time with like Joey and Chandler. And it's like,
or they'll do like they'll do like the little wink wink that's like, "Oh, but obviously they're not."
And Ross was really bent out of shape about his son as well.
Yeah.
When he would, like, there was an episode or two where he was, like, playing with dolls and Ross kept freaking out. And you're just like, okay.
I mean, it just goes to show changing times, I guess.
And because, then just, like, awareness or lack of thereof. Because it's, like, obviously, or not obviously, but you would think that people that are making these stories, like, don't come out to be like, well, I just really want to offend, you know, I just really want to say bad things about gay people. Or I want to say bad, you know. But it's, like, you don't think about it. And the default is to have, you know, straight whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like, I've seen discussions about, what's it called? Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. And people who, you know, are like, oh my God, that's so transphobic. And all this stuff. And I've had people who were trans at the time, you know, coming out. I've seen them defending it on Tumblr. Because they're like, you don't understand how important this was at the time it came out. And yes, you look at it now and there's questionable stuff in it. But it's like... But it was incredibly forward for the time.
Yeah.
And you do have to allow for changes.
And also, even if it's, like, it's problematic, like, it can be transphobic. Yeah. But for someone who's going through that at first when they first see it, to see, like, the main character be trans, you know, or to have that be like, oh, that is, you know, being represented in some way, whatever way that is, you know.
Yeah.
That's another reason to watch foreign media. You get really fed up with stuff that's problems in one, and then you move on for a little while, and then you have a world's worth of media to go watch, and then eventually, once it's been, you know, and then once you're over it after a couple of years, and you can go back.
Yeah.
But that's just what's nice about that you're not stuck, I guess, with one thing and all the problems that come with that one thing. Like, we have so many more options now, and what we're doing can be really important because it's showing that, yes, we have those options, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't just only look to America for our media content.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, as the internet becomes more prolific and it's either to get the access, it's interesting because it does give you a window into the rest of the world. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, they were talking about it after the horrible things that happened in Charlotte this weekend, how if you introduce people mm-hmm. to a family who's willing to listen to them and, you know, and accept them, even though they're maybe saying horrible things, like it's a black family or a Muslim mm-hmm. family or something like that, a lot of the time they'll completely change their mind because they'll realize, okay, now I know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, even though I said horrible things, were really nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same way. You get to see a wider, a bigger look at the world.
Yeah, because people are shaped by their media, the media they consume, as much as people don't want to admit it sometimes, you know? So it is important.
The empathy gap is a thing, and media can have a big role to play in closing the empathy gap.
So maybe, because it's all about access, right?
Yeah.
And Netflix is something that almost everyone has. So maybe,
it feels like it,
in a future episode, we will find specific Netflix things on Netflix that can be an opening, like an entryway you for whatever genre that is. Like, watch this on Netflix first, and then go do illegal things to get the rest.
Yes.
If you liked it.
Which is a good segue into our next topic, which is Disney have just, like a week ago, announced that they're pulling all of their programming off of Netflix, which they only just signed a deal with Netflix at the end of last year, so it hasn't even been very long, and they're going to start their own streaming.
Yeah.
Boo. Which, obviously, we're just like, but why? Yeah. Nobody wants, I love Disney. Nobody wants a Disney specific, I don't care how much the media they put out. I'm not going to pay for something that's just Disney.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to just watch Disney. And this is assuming, and we don't actually know yet, but this is even assuming that it's not just Disney, but that they're going to put out Lucasfilm and Marvel as well. I still don't want to pay just for that. I pay for Netflix because there's a wide variety of things that I can see on Netflix. I don't pay for Hulu because there's not enough variety. I have an Amazon Prime, but that's more about other things, and I do watch some things on
shipping.
It. That's about shipping. Exactly. Yeah. I order a lot of stuff, and it's just that's my bonus, right? But I don't want to pay just for Disney. If I want to see a Disney movie, I'll either rent it through, like, Google Play or something, or I'll buy it, but I don't need to stream it. I don't know. I don't need to pay $10 a month when I could just pay $4 to rent it once.
Right. I feel like it's, like, the principle of it, too, because I'm just, like, I feel like that's just, like, now you're just being greedy. Like, I know, I see that you're just being greedy now, and I don't want to give you my money.
And as much as I love Disney, they are greedy.
I keep arguing this back and forth in my head, because this is not, like, the big criticism with cable, is that, like, maybe I only want a couple channels. I don't want to have to pay this giant package for, like, 500 channels, right? And so just let me pick the ones that I want. And so that's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah.
Except that when everything is at the exact same price point, and if it's getting narrower and narrower, it's like you're going to end up paying cable amounts anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
and how much original stuff does each thing have to offer? Yeah. It's like, especially with Disney, because it's not like they're going to stop releasing these movies in theaters or on DVD.
Yeah.
So why am I going to pay? And I see them dealing with that in K-dramas right now, because the two biggest sites, Viki and Drama Fever, and for the most part, they have the same stuff. But every cycle of new shows, Drama Fever especially, but Viki a little bit, has a number of, like, exclusive ones that you can only get on each site. And increasingly, for the ones that are exclusive to them, with Drama Fever in particular, Viki doesn't do this as much, but it does it a little bit. You need a membership just to be able to watch it. Like, they supposedly, like, on shows that aren't exclusive to them, you don't need a membership. You can just watch for free with ads. the membership just gets you no ads. Mm-hmm. But on this now, it's like Goblin still, I think, which that started airing in November of last year. On Drama Fever, you still need a membership to watch like half of the episodes of Goblin. Hmm. And it's like, do I really want to pay two streaming services for the same price where you have most of the same stuff, but maybe I want to see that one show, one or two, really badly?
Wait, is Goblin exclusive to Drama Fever?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. Because I was planning on watching Goblin. But I do actually have a Viki membership. But yeah, I didn't pay for it, so I'm okay.
Secret Forest, which is wrapped up with Bay Duna, who's, like, a little bit bigger in America now. She kind of has a name. Uh-huh. She's the one who's on Sense8 and stuff. That was apparently amazing, and that's a Drama Fever exclusive as well.
Darn it.
And I know.
Well, I don't even go to Drama Fever. I don't want to pay for them.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the problem. And they get mad, and they're like, why is everybody pirating everything? And it's like, well, what do you expect?
Right.
You want me to pay $10 a month for one freaking thing? Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's so frustrating. I mean, what, like, we wanted, for the longest time, we were pushing really hard for to get the iPlayer. So the iPlayer in the UK is BBC iPlayer. So everything that the BBC makes is immediately on their iPlayer, so you can stream it.
Mm.
And you can stream it from satellite boxes, or you can stream it on computers, as long as you have, you know, as long as you're in the UK, basically, because you have to be paying a license fee to be in the UK and have a television.
Right.
And we wanted, for a long time, we wanted iPlayer. Well, they finally came out with something, but it's like, there's two different ones, and they both have, BritBox is the one that the BBC is officially behind, but then there's another one called Acorn TV. Mm-hmm. And then there's also still stuff on Amazon Prime. But everybody has different stuff that's specific to them. And it's like, this is frustrating. And now I haven't paid for any of them because I'm like, I don't know which one I want to get. And I'm just going to download it.
There you go, right? Because it's just easier, right?
I want to support it, but give me one thing that I can pay my $10 a month and I get everything. But don't make me keep doing it for thing after thing. And, it, you know, at least I guess those two sound like, at least they, if you pay, they don't give you ads. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Hulu still gives you ads.
That's crazy to me.
That still pisses me off.
Drama Fever at the lowest membership level, there's still some ads. Vicky, there's only one membership level
Drama
and you
Fever
get no
sounds
ads.
Sounds horrible. I don't like them.
No, they're pretty terrible. They, yeah.
Use Vicky.
No, we're not so much better. I'm like, your subs are better and you're not even paying anybody. Like, what's your excuse? You're paying Drama Fever people and their subs aren't as good. That's, I mean, not that I, like, know, because I don't speak Korean, but, like, just from a few things.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like sometimes you can tell, like, if the sub, like, even if it's not, like, transliteration, you can tell, like, it makes more sense in English. Like, you made it make sense in English. Yeah.
Well,
you know?
And they don't, like, in Vicky, they don't translate some things that there's not an easy translation. Mm-hmm. So, like, when they call each other Hyung or Nuna,
right,
or something, which is like
there.
Big Brother or whatever. Mm. Back when I used to watch Drama Fever, I literally would go with half of a show thinking two characters were actually related because they would try to translate it as bro.
Oh.
And that's it's one of those things where you just have to stick around and learn about it long enough, but mm-hmm. these characters aren't related, but they have a close enough relationship that he's calling him Hyung anyway, which means Big Brother. Like, it's this whole thing. Whereas, like, Vicky just doesn't translate it, and sometimes they'll put an asterisk in and explain.
Yeah.
And other times they're like, go figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go look it up. You have Google.
There are some things. It feels like that's one of those things where it's like they don't just assume you're all idiots, which I appreciate. Let me assume some level of intelligence that I can either figure it out or I can go figure out what it means if I really, Not everything needs to be translated.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's
unless
true.
You're the French, because they have to make names for everything. They have to create words for everything, because the French are silly.
But yeah, I think.
Do you remember? I think I saw that the headlines after they announced the title of Episode 8 in Star Wars was Last Jedi, and because I think so Disney announced it, and like some foreign marketers were coming to them and being like, "So like, is this one Jedi or two Jedi? Like, singular or plural? We need to know." And Disney's like, "I don't know. What do you think?" And they're like, "No, we literally need to know for translation for marketing."
It's not the same in other languages. That's funny.
That is funny. But no, I mean, in terms of Disney doing the streaming thing, like, it's not going to be, I'm sure it will be a financial success because it's Disney.
Yeah.
And everyone has, everyone who has kids might get it so that their kids can watch Disney things, I guess. Or.
I'm not.
In some, there you go, there you go. Or in some, like, magical world, maybe it will actually have kids turning to other, you know, series or movies or whatever, mm-hmm. and give other people a chance since Disney took themselves out of the running for
home
media.
What I like that, because we're talking about Amazon Prime a little bit. We have Prime for shipping, but it's my favorite place for TV for the four-year-old. They have more Nickelodeon stuff, and I just like what Nickelodeon's pre-K offers better right now than what's on Netflix. But what I like that Amazon does, although it's starting to really annoy the four-year-old, is that you get, like, and maybe Disney needs to do something like this, you get the first couple seasons of a show for free. It'll be something like Dora. So you can have the original, like, three seasons of Dora from, like, 2000. But then if you want beyond season three, then you have to start paying for it. And I'm like, I don't know, kid, like, suck it, we had to watch what was on TV back in my day. But, like, I like that because you can get a little bit of it, but you can pay for more, but it's not like it cuts you off like Drama Fever in the middle of one actual show.
Really?
And then you have to pay for ads. Like, it's Dora episodes, they're all the same anyway. Like,
yeah.
But they do that with a lot of their stuff, and I like that because it's a good way to, like, tempt people to buy more without making them get all this exclusivity.
They seriously
Disney should try
off
something like that. Maybe Disney should be like, you can keep one of your seasons on Disney or on Netflix or whatever, but if you want more, you have to come to us. Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. To be honest, I'm just hoping they leave Marvel on Netflix and then I'd be fine. Although, it doesn't really matter because I buy all of those anyway, so I have them. But it's easier to stream them just on Netflix, the ones that are on Netflix. So if they leave it on Netflix, I definitely don't need to buy Disney because it's like Disney movies. I watch once most of them.
You don't need to.
And
go back.
I don't need to watch them 85 times, which I will do.
This
with
is actually
other stuff.
An interesting idea because when Disney launches this, are they still going to have the vault?
That's what
I was theoretically wondering. You still can't go and buy, like, Bambi right now if you want it, right?
Will they still do that,
but,
or
like,
will they put everything out on streaming at the same time?
That's a really good question.
But because, like, it's not like they have their entire catalog on Netflix right now. They just have what ones they feel like, and there's still the vault, and it's still hard to get certain movies. Are you going to make us now pay for your own streaming service and still have some things locked away in the vaults?
That's a really
good
question.
You got to keep paying for it to see when the new thing is going to come out, right? Or when the old thing is going to come out.
It's going to be for this 6-month period, you can actually watch The Black Cauldron.
Exactly.
You know what they might actually get to people to pay for it to watch? Song of the South.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, dude, accept that you made this thing.
Right.
Except that you made it, and it's a product of its time. It doesn't make it right, but it is a product of its time. The one thing, like, I am more of a Disney fan than I am a Warner Brothers fan. I never really liked the Warner Brothers cartoons very much, except for, like, Tiny Toons and Animaniacs. But Looney Tunes was never my thing. But there are lots of Warner Brothers cartoons that are really, really horribly racist. Mm-hmm. And they just put up, and there's stuff that, you know, they say, we made this. This is a thing that we produced. It's a product of its time. Judge it as such. Mm-hmm. And I have to respect that. Because they're not just trying to hide it away, hide part of their history away. Shit happens. And then you grew up, and you realize that was horribly racist, and you're not going to do it anymore. But it's there, and it's a thing, and it's interesting. I mean, you know, people want to see, especially because you have rides at the parks based on Song of the South, and everybody's like, what the hell is this?
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's what Splash Mountain is.
And it's not like they don't have other racist stuff in some of their other movies.
Yeah. Right. It's just that's the most obvious.
Yeah.
Watching Peter Pan somewhat recently, I was like,
oh, Jesus. Peter Pan, that's racist.
Yeah, it's kind of awful. And then what Warner Brothers went and made that movie Pan, where they actually made a white person play Tiger Lily.
It was one of the Maras, Rooney Mara, right? And Rooney I was like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, it's because it's more international now. See how Hook is Australian? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but the Australians are British,
they did
so.
That because they were like, this is our way of not being problematic. It was like, there might be stereotypes associated with this character if we cast somebody who's Native American, and we might get accused of, like, stereotyping them. So,
just imagine if you cast a Native American and then just didn't write her as a stereotype.
Yeah,
that would be so incredible.
Maybe use that actress to help you come up with an idea. Like, okay, so these are the things that are really horrible that you do when you depict Native Americans. So let's change that.
Right.
That would have been the ideal thing to do, but that just goes to show there's still lots of racism in
Hollywood. Reminds me, I don't know if you guys know who this is, Karina McKenzie. She's a writer for, like, the originals.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like, random, it doesn't matter. But, like, CW writer. But she was on a podcast, and I remember she was talking about, she wrote a script for the originals, and then the actor who plays Marcel, Charles Michael David? I don't know what his name is, doesn't matter. Okay. He's black. Okay, so then he went to her, and he was like, this is, like, racist. I don't know what he wanted. She was like, this is like a trope. This is like, please don't write this. And then she was like, oh my God. And then she changed it, right? Because she was like, but I didn't know that that was something. But I'm glad that he told me. So now I know something. Because I know that, like, even if I'm not racist, I come from a racist background. Like my history is
racist. There are a lot of things that you don't realize. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I didn't know. I had never seen anything associated with it. So I didn't really realize that fried chicken.
Oh.
I was like, wow. I've never been exposed to that as associated with black people. I guess I would have then hopefully picked up on it, but because I had never been associated, I was like, that's a thing that people do? That's really awful.
Yeah.
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 It just goes to show. People don't know.
Yep. And so that's why you want to have other people who can tell you.
Yeah. Really. Anyway, streaming.
Speaking of representation and still on our topic, CBS putting the new Star Trek on some random service that nobody's going to pay for.
For two shows.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for CBS All Access. No, you're not. It's going to become the most downloaded
this,
show.
Like, awesome thing with this, you know, black female lead.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle Yao, who people think might die in the first episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she dies in the first episode.
So sad.
But still, like, that's a big, it's a big deal. And they're, of course, they're, like, whiny crybabies crying about it. But, this is all moot anyway, because it's going to languish on CBS All Access.
Exactly, it's like you're setting it up to fail. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And at least they're going to put the first episode on TV, so that maybe that will entice people to buy CBS All Access, but it's not. It's just going to entice them to download.
Like, yeah, because they're still forgetting the demographics, like my father, who is going to be really excited and watch it, and then be like, where did it go?
Right, exactly.
And, like, me attempting to take the six-month process to explain to him how CBS All Access works isn't going to happen. And now they've lost. And there's got to be more stories like that where they're going to lose a lot of people. And it's like, why are you doing this?
Which is interesting, because my father, who is also, like, in his mid-60s, I will say he's actually pretty tech-savvy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's because he works for NASA, and he has to be. So he actually does more streaming, I think, than I. Like, he's always coming to me and being like, have you watched the show on Netflix yet? It's weird. But I still don't think he's going to pay. As much as he is a science fiction, I mean, he works for NASA. He's a huge science fiction fan.
Mm.
He is not going to pay for one freaking show. He'll wait and eventually buy it.
Right.
Because, you know, they love Orphan Black. That's on cable that they get, and they haven't watched the latest season. They're waiting until that comes out, which is an entire other conversation of binging versus the regular season. Oh, I forgot to say, that was one of the things I was going to say was really good about foreign media, by the way, was they don't have seasons. They just,
usually.
Most places, they don't have, like, the season, so you can get great stuff. I mean, look, everything goes off at Christmas here, whereas in the UK, they release tons of really great television at Christmas.
Mm.
Christmas is one of my favorite times to actually watch British stuff, because there's some really good stuff that they
have. That is actually one thing that I don't like about American TV, that I think that actually Freeform has been, ABC Family / Freeform has actually not been doing, which is why they'll have season A and season B, so it does actually feel like it's airing all year round.
Yeah.
It's never not That's airing. True. But yeah, the idea that, like, oh, there's not anything in summer, and then there's, like, the little winter hiatus or whatever. The winter hiatus isn't so bad, but the summer one, like, when something airs in the summer, it's because you know it's bad, quote unquote, right?
Yeah, really.
And, like, I'm like, why is it like that? It shouldn't be like that, because, like, kids aren't in school in the summer, right? You know, so, like, if
you think you'd be giving them something.
Exactly.
And look at, I mean, this could go into the other topic we were talking about, which is the summer box office this year and how bad it's been. But we were listening to something on NPR the other day, and they were talking about it, and they said, you know, it used to be that your water cooler talk was, what movie are you seeing this week? Whereas last year it was all about Stranger Things, and this year it's all about Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And those both dropped in the summer, and they were well received, and people loved them. And it's taking advantage of the fact that nobody else is releasing anything because they're stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
But then the movies suck, so nobody's going to the movies because besides, like, two movies, everything's been really, really bad this year.
Do we want...
Yeah, I can't think of anything that has come out since, like, the beginning of July. And I can't think of anything that's coming out in August.
Spider-Man.
Right, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man and...
But that was the beginning of July, wasn't it?
That was the very beginning of July. And then Planet of the Apes was the middle of July?
I didn't see that one.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh.
I love the other two,
yeah.
But I saw them at home. I never
watched
them.
Right, I'm not, like, invested in the franchise.
Yeah,
so
I didn't need to go to the theaters. And I'm somebody who usually goes to the movies a lot, or used to, at least. And, no, I went and saw Dunkirk. Dunkirk's the other thing. That's right. I went and saw Dunkirk. I saw Spider-Man. I saw Wonder Woman. That was my summer.
Let's see. I saw Wonder Woman and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Girls Trip and The Big Sick. So those are the movies I've seen this summer.
Wonder Woman. That's
Wonder
it.
Woman?
That's it. Yeah. I have a kid. But she starts preschool in the fall, and she will be gone long enough on Fridays that I'll be able to go to first show of the day movies.
Yay.
So I'm excited.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, yay. Especially because there's a bunch of stuff coming out in the, like, winter and fall that I want to see. So I'm like, this timing works out perfectly for me.
Nice. That's so awesome.
But yeah, I mean, what else, like, and you look at what the offerings were. I can't even remember half of the movies that came out.
I mean, I know I don't know when Transformers came out. They came out at some point.
Transformers was the beginning of July, I think.
Okay, and The Mummy was also a failure.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, like, a lot of movies are failing in the domestic box office, and they have to make it up in the worldwide one.
Yes.
Which is harder to do, because you get less money back from worldwide.
Oh, okay.
Because the theaters in those countries keep
more of the money.
Much of the, exactly. Since
our
like,
movie
old
theaters get screwed.
Yeah. So why things are failing domestically? I feel like that we have many reasons.
We have talking points. one of them was franchise fatigue.
Yeah.
There's too many franchises. Although, what's funny is, if you look at it, half are the movies that did well, except for Dunkirk.
Uh-huh.
All the other movies that did well this summer were part of a franchise.
Right, like, if you're doing well on a big budget, it's because you're a franchise. But that's the thing,
true.
Like, because it's so many things.
Oh, Girls Trip.
Yeah, because Girls Trip did really well. Because it's a small budget.
Yeah.
I'm sure Big Sick is doing well for its, like, $5 million budget or whatever
probably.
It has. It's like, because they're putting so much money in, they have to get so much more money back. So even if there are a lot of people seeing this movie, it's not going to be up to their expectations.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too. It's like, because audiences do need, like, they're not going to buy your, like, low-budget CGI, right? FX, right? They
I think it's hilarious that, like, so Luc Besson has, like, come out and he's slamming superhero movies, right? Mm. And it's like, your movie, Valerian, is a French superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's just science fiction superhero.
It's, like, it's still superhero.
And I'm sorry, but it did badly because apparently everybody says it sucks.
Yeah.
So,
I heard it was a boring Star Wars.
Yeah, everybody says the acting isn't very good.
I mean, it's not Chloe
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, that
Carrie
girl,
Delvin.
The other one. She's not a good actress.
No, she's
a
really terrible actress.
I don't know what they were going for. And
that
dude, I don't know if he's a good actor or not, but his face was very off-putting. So I was not going to see it regardless.
Yeah, unfortunately. He's not pretty, sorry. So I'm not going to go see it just for the pretty face. There's no pretty face.
Yeah.
I mean, The Fifth Element is one of the best science fiction movies ever made, as far as I'm concerned. So Matt has every single version of Leon the Professional that's ever come out. Like, there's 85 different versions that's been released, and Matt owns them all. So, he's a good storyteller, but, you know, you gotta tell a good story to make people actually want to come see you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And apparently this isn't something anybody wanted to see. Planet of the Apes? War of the Planet of the Apes is the one that came out. That did really well. That's a franchise. But then Transformers bombed.
Right.
But Transformers is shit. Mm-hmm. I saw the first movie once, and we'll never see any of them again.
Yeah. That's the thing, too. It's like, just making something a franchise doesn't guarantee a success. Especially, like, you have to have, especially now that there's, like, advanced reviews, and that reviews go everywhere. Like, Rotten Tomatoes, but you get that word of mouth, like, people use Twitter, right? Like, yeah. You look up the hashtag of the movie, and then anyone who's seen an advanced preview of the movie or whatever will tell you, like, this was shit, or this was awesome.
Yeah.
And then you want to go or you don't want to go.
Yeah, I mean, when we saw mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, we just saw it, like, a fan screening mm-hmm. a couple weeks before the movie, and I tweeted about it, because obviously it's a fan screening, we can, mm-hmm. and we did. We had people who were like, thank you, now I know I can go see it.
Right.
Because, you know, I was honest, I was like, I liked it, and I'm not usually a DC fan.
Right.
So people are obviously looking for those things yeah. ahead of time. You know, that was 2 weeks before the movie, I think mm. it was, we saw it. Mm. People were wondering, and they're going to start yeah. looking. Exactly. So if they got like bad word of mouth. And I think people are savvy enough now that they realize that if they're not hearing anything,
it's not
that's
good.
Bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So Dark Tower failed.
Because people knew.
Partly like, because mm-hmm. you release a trailer for something 3 months before and then don't let anybody see it until right before. People know that's a bad thing now.
Yeah.
You've got a more intelligent audience, and they're not going to be as easily fooled.
Yeah, or at least, like, a more informed audience, yeah. right? Like, of how things work.
Yeah. Think so. You also just have, you know, every other movie is... No, she's there. Every other movie...
I didn't realize all of these movies came out this summer. There was an Alien movie this summer. I forgot about that already.
Yeah, well, because
there was
summer,
a Pirates of the Caribbean summer movie. I forgot about that already. There was
summer
a Cars
technically
movie.
Starts
I
at the beginning
already.
Of. Yeah, summer technically starts at the beginning of May. So mm-hmm. Guardians is yeah. like the first big summer
right.
movie that came out mm-hmm. this year.
Yeah. And that's
that was
like,
all. I was looking up the
really
movies that came out this summer because I literally couldn't come up with any.
Yeah. But yeah, you've got so many remakes, and it's kind of, and or. Everything feels like it's either a remake or a sequel. There's no original
yeah.
ideas being
and
there's
like
or there's
remakes
very few
or sequels based on things like sort of obscure things that like mm. you don't have that much of a like no matter how rabid the 10,000 people that like it are like it's not going to spread.
I was
rest.
Just telling Tatiana that I saw something today and I can't remember what it was, but it was some movie starring the two Corys, so Corey Haim and Corey Feldman from back in the 80s. That I don't even remember the name of. I've never seen it, but they're remaking it. I'm like, mm-hmm. I didn't see that one. If I wanted to see it, I would go see it. I'm not going to watch a remake of
right.
it. Nobody cares.
I'm surprised that they don't do more, like, do more book to TV adaptations.
Yeah.
Or, like, graphic novel to TV adaptations. Like, you don't, we're not even asking you to come up with a completely original story.
Yeah.
Like, I could come up with any number of books. I'm like, adapt them. Like,
it's more
yeah,
tested.
Maybe they'd be a little expensive because I read a lot of fantasy. But, like, you're dropping all this money on CGI anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To make, like, whatever it is you're making. So, I don't understand why it's so hard. Mm-hmm. You could.
Well, and the weirdest thing is the idea that where it's like, okay, we haven't even seen if anybody likes this movie yet, but we're going to build an entire universal around it. And here's everybody who's going to play every character in the Universal Dark Universe, whatever the
right.
fuck they're calling it. And then The Mummy bombed. And what are you going to do? Because nobody wants to see Jekyll and Hyde. Nobody wants to see The Invisible Man.
Mm.
If I want to see those movies, I will go back and watch the ones from
right.
the
40s exactly. or like trying to create a universe out of something that no one has asked for a universe
yeah.
of. Like, that's the thing. Like, everyone wants to be the new MCU, but the MCU
yeah.
happened more organically. Like,
yeah.
they put out a movie, then they put out another movie, and then there's, like, a demand to see these people together or whatever,
yeah.
you know?
I mean, because if you look at it, yeah, there's three MCU movies a year now,
mm-hmm.
but there weren't. At the beginning, it was
right.
one a year because it was... Okay, does anybody want to see Iron Man? Nobody's ever heard of him,
right.
really. Okay. Then we'll make the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they slowly built up because it was making money. But you can't just throw everything at the wall and
yeah.
see if it sticks. It's, you know... I thought that what was interesting, and I still haven't seen the movie, is that... what was it? The M. Night Shyamalan movie with James McAvoy that came out earlier this year?
Oh, I hadn't seen it either. Oh,
okay. Well, now I'm afraid to spoil you.
No,
I got spoiled.
I'm never going to... I'm fine.
Apparently, at the end of it, and no one knew when this was coming, at the end of it, they're like, by the way, this is in the Unbreakable universe. And that was a movie that people liked.
Mm-hmm.
Unbreakable was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best superhero movies ever made, and it's not based on a comic book.
Right.
It is a really good movie. Well, maybe not best, but it's a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, no one knew this movie. And then you get to the end and there's Bruce Willis, I think, is what happens. And you're like, holy shit, he's playing the same character. They're in the same universe. And they were like, here, So it's like, it could be a fun little nod, right. Or, you know, it was well received, so now they're going to make more. Mm-hmm. But it could have just been a fun little nod.
Yeah.
But Unbreakable is something people have been asking for more of, because mm-hmm. it does feel like it could go on, and people liked it. Not that you necessarily want to trust M. Night Shyamalan, because
right.
he was so great at the beginning, and then
devolved.
But then this movie was really good, I heard. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but...
What was it? What's it called?
Oh, God, it's something with an S. James McAvoy. I need to look. James McAvoy.
Everyone's searching. Google.
This is new, like, sports.
Oh, Split. Yes.
Like, who gets there first?
Yes.
Split. I definitely heard that was good. I didn't realize that was M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Which is crazy. And that's actually good that they stopped kind of pushing that.
Yeah, yeah. Because then it can give you, like, a preconceived...
Stop making him try and be something and just let him make the art. That was better in a way. I think we talked about
They're working on the sequel.
Huh?
Now.
Oh, they're working on the sequel?
According to IMDb.
Yeah. They're working. They're going to... And it will include more of Bruce Willis and possibly Sam Jackson. Obviously that was the
story. He is listed in the cast.
But yeah,
James McAvoy is playing like 500 people.
So he's split personality.
But yeah, one of the big reasons that movies... sort of, like, the box office is going down for them, is also just, like, we have so many options. Mm-hmm. They're freer options or cheaper options.
Yep.
So, and now you have, like, your big screen TVs or whatever that you can watch. So you can watch your Netflix. Your TV can feel more cinematic in your own home. And then with the ability to stream movies, too, it's, like, movies feel more like TV. So between the shorter option, like, something that's short and that you don't know that you're going to like, versus something that's longer... And that you get invested in, right? Because, also, no matter how shitty a TV show is or gets, like, once you're, like, actually invested in it, right? You hold on for dear
Pretty Little Liars, man.
Exactly.
7 years, man.
So, between those two options, most likely you're going to choose a TV show.
Yeah. It's
like,
true.
And it's weird. I mean,
John and I always have the debate, like, is this movie worth babysitter money?
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's how it is for most people. And we're like, or we could wait and rent it in a few months. So we tend to go to stuff that's going to look better on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I don't want to wait.
The more you have the bigger things available and you have, you know, 4K TVs and projectors and stuff like that, it's harder to want to pay. Although, I say that, and I will, you know, I'm a 7 o'clock on the Thursday. I have to see it. You know, it used to be midnight, but now they do them 7 o'clock. Thank God I don't have to be out until 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. It makes my life a little bit easier. But I am that person who will go to the first screening of the big blockbusters that I want to see.
Right. But that's like doing it for the culture. Like,
It is partly. And so I am super excited as somebody who lives in Los Angeles and whose favorite theater is the Chinese theater. I am so thrilled that IMAX are going to stop doing so many 3D showings, because the only reason I don't go all the way into Hollywood, which is at least a 45-minute drive for me, basically, because traffic's always shit, I am going to make that drive. And that is paying $22 a movie because the Chinese is expensive. Mm-hmm. But that's because I want to see my Marvel movies on that screen, and I just don't want to see them in 3D. So now I am so thrilled that I'm going to be paying more money. But I'm like, I get to see them at the Chinese. It's a miracle. I'm so happy. I just want that to happen right now. I'm like, okay, can we do that, like, before Ragnarok?
Yeah. That's like very specific films
that
someone would be like that for.
I am at the point where I think I see the same movie over and over again, because I'm one of those people too. But I only see a handful of movies in the theater anymore. I really don't need... Especially because now things are out on DVD so fast. Mm-hmm. You know what? Guardians feels like it's taken longer because it's been 4 months, so it's about 4 months. You have to wait. Yeah. Most of the time I can just wait. If I'm the person who will spend $22 to go see the movie I want to see in a really good theater, that's not good for Hollywood. If I can just wait on most of the stuff. Because then the people who don't have that luxury are also waiting.
Yep.
So basically there's just a lot of reasons and Hollywood are fucked.
Unless they change what they're doing.
I don't know. They need to change something.
Yeah. I mean, they need to... I think that you should start by going back to just, like, trying to make good stories and not spending that much money on them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like...
Moonlight won the best best Oscar. Mm-hmm. Best Picture Oscar.
Which is the best Oscar.
So. Yes. And that was made for nothing.
Yeah.
And it took him, like, what, 3 days or something ridiculous? It's like, it was over a really short period of time.
Right, yeah.
And I think, you know, it didn't make MCU money.
Right.
But if you look at proportionate, it did right.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's like...
Tell a good story.
As long as you're not trying to become a billionaire off of one thing.
Yeah.
Then...
you might have a problem because, you know, your Star Wars are a flash in the pan. They don't happen very often.
Yeah.
It's a one in a million kind of thing. So I think that's it. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.